Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Hey, that's not Brian Sexton. Brian is right now out of the Players' Championship playing TV star. Maybe we should pull him up here on the TV and watch him a little bit as he plays TV star. Cole Pepper here along with Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, as we bring you Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, and it is a... Well, this is a good week to have this show, actually, Vic.
Why is that? Well, we
actually have something on the field. Minicamp.
That's right.
We had five practices in which to watch the new guys, the draft picks, old guys in new positions.
This is my favorite time of the year.
Because you just can't be wrong right now, can you? That's one great thing about it.
All you got to do is, he looked good, and he looked good, and he looked good. Everybody looks good.
Doing the Vicka Hopper.
So the pads go on, and then we find out who looks bad.
Well, you know that you said something, and we'll take your calls. By the way,
the underwear league.
We'll take your calls at 355 NFL one. You can also chime in here via email at jags@wokv.com. You said something. You may have written on Ask Vic, or maybe in a conversation. It all blends together with you anymore, Vic.
Yes, it does.
You said that the only position you can really evaluate in minicamp is cornerback.
That's right. I said that.
And I wrote that too. And then what did I say to you when I saw you talking?
Well, I can't
about
repeat
it.
That.
Okay. After I said that, after I finished with that. harangue. I think you can learn some things about wide receiver. You won't know for sure, but I think you can learn some important, especially young wide receivers. I think I picked up some things about.
Did we learn something about Charles Sheeran? Did we learn something about Chad Owens?
Sure, yeah, absolutely, we did.
What
sure.
did we learn?
You start looking for what you know. This is how I approach a minicamp. I look for, especially with the young guys, rookies. Mm-hmm. I look for, is there something there that I can say, all right, if he can do that when the pads go on, he's good. He's got a chance to do something.
Wait for the pads to go on.
Well, that's fine, but they're not on yet, so here's what we got.
See, my point is that all you got to see with a cornerback is whether he has the athletic ability and the ball skills to play the position. It's not a physical position. Mm-hmm. It's not a position that's going to be defined by a player's courage. Or of course, Deion Sanders would have never played in the league. I mean, the guy couldn't tackle his mother. He is one of the great cornerbacks, maybe the greatest coverage cornerback right. in history, because that's how you judge cornerbacks, according to how they cover. I saw enough from Derek Cox at minicamp this past weekend to know that he is worth a third-round pick. Now, whether or not he's worth the trade, I don't know, but he is certainly worthy of a third-round pick. When I look at players who were selected in the third round, he clearly fits. He probably fits with the player selected in the second round. They say he's also a tough guy. They say he's a big guy who can tackle. He's a form tackler. So, you know, the best is yet to come with him. Rasheem Mathis has never been accused of being a form tackler. That's not his strength. Right. His strength is intercepting the ball. His strength is playing coverage. So that's what minicamp is about for cornerbacks, and that's what you can prove in minicamp is that you can play the ball. Receivers, they have to be able to get off the jam. So we start with that. Not just will you go over the middle.
Yeah.
They have to be able to get off the jam. Charles Sheeran, who was an underwear league star, basically lost his roster battle because in that final preseason game, the 1 year, because he couldn't get off the jam.
Yep.
They put him into a press coverage situation, and he just got jammed at the line, and that was the end.
All right, so let me put this to you then. Are you saying you have made your judgment on Derek Cox?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's done.
My judgment is that he is worthy of a third round pick. He is probably going to be a starting corner for this team. He has all of the skills that you look for. The one play Sunday morning, he stripped Mike Walker of a what should have been a catch. Mike had it in his hands, and he went in and wham, pulled it out. Okay, now that's great. Mm-hmm. Everyone went ooh and ah. But the play Sunday morning that really turned me on, as far as Derek Cox is concerned, is the a sideline route that was kind of a very short sideline route to the left sideline to Mike Walker. And before Mike Walker could get his hips turned upfield, Derek Cox closed on the ball, and it was, you know, going to be shoved out of bounds, or hopefully, you know, knocked out of bounds. Mm-hmm. His ability to close on the ball is extreme, and he comes out of nowhere. He comes from out of the frame to defending. I think it was Terry McDonough who told me that he had they call them PBUs, pass breakups.
Right.
We call them passes defensed.
Right.
I think he said he had 11 PBUs, or was it five? It might have been five PBUs this past weekend. That's a lot.
That's a ton, yeah. There was one play as well that got my attention with him, and that was, we're talking about Derek Cox, the third-round pick out of William & Mary. And for a lot of Jaguars fans right now, he's the William & Mary guy until they, you know, see him on the field and start associating his
and Rasheed Mathis is the Bethune-Cookman guy.
Well, he's not now. He's he was the Bethune-Cookman guy when it started, right?
I'm more concerned about the Florida guy.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
Reggie Nelson is, I think, the
don't get ahead of me now.
The most grave concern in the safety. They've got to get the first round pick, and they've got to get him back to where he was as a rookie.
I'm going to club you over the head with this, so you get ahead of me.
Should I dare say what that is?
It is. It's all about liberty. Is what that is.
that's a Sexton bottle.
That's all about liberty.
Yeah.
The play that Cox made that I really liked, it was a zone thing, but there was a play, it was Sunday morning as well, and he came off, and you could see that he recognized that the ball was going to the underneath receiver, and he recognized it, and then as he was in his in a drop with a deep receiver, and how quickly he closed in on the underneath guy, who I think was Mike Thomas, but he came in so quickly. I like what I see out of Derek Cox. I thought he was the star of minicamp.
One of the things that I really liked about him was that he was defending almost all weekend long against Mike Walker because of the way that they rolled out, you know, twos against twos and all that kind of stuff. Mike Walker was the star of last year's underwear league.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, he was the
UFL MVP.
In the final days of last year's underwear league, he came out of nowhere and just turned this place upside down.
Yeah.
Mike Walker, by the way, he was probably the best receiver this past weekend.
I agree with that. Yeah.
He had no wrap on either knee. He's never run better in successive practices. And Derek Cox shadowed him. He did as good a job on Mike Walker as Scott Starks used to do on Matt Jones.
Yeah, that's good things for sure. Email here at jags@wokv.com. We have an emailer saying, does the he looks good thing this time of year even apply to Vic? Yes, Vic looked very good at minicamp. I thought you looked right on your game. Now we'll see what happens when the pads go on, if the questions change.
I step it up.
Well, you have in the past, Vic, but let's be honest. You're a veteran. You have to start watching this. We're going to see if there's a drop off.
I have
at all.
A training camp hat, and I have an underwear league hat.
Yes,
all right?
Yeah.
I wore the underwear league hat.
Could have made a statement by wearing your training camp hat early, but you didn't. So
save those. The sun will bleach them out bad.
We'll see how it goes. All right, we'll take time out. Your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, here on News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Back here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Cole Pepper in for, I guess I'm in for Brian and Jeff today.
Sure.
You know, what the heck? Vic is in for Vic. Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com to play AMC Theater's Movie Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free movie tickets and more. Vic, by the way, do you need to know any Caddyshack lines in that trivia contest? Is that, would that help you?
I know them all.
I know you do.
What do you want? I'll teach you the meaning of the word respect. So we've got that going for
which is nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah. You have a swimming pool?
Yeah, we got a pond. I got a pond and a pool. The pool will be good for, or
pond be good for you.
You.
Yeah. All right. We spent most of the first segment discussing the Jaguars' third-round pick, Derek Cox. Vic, do you want to recap what it is that turns you on about Cox?
You know, you say something innocent. You know, you have no intention of any kind of dirty thought, and then you have somebody, you know, like Aaron Schachter,
mm-hmm.
who used to. Produce his show.
He used to be Joe before Joe was Joe.
Oh, he wimped out.
The second time.
He wimped out. He couldn't.
Now he's running a music station.
He couldn't handle the road trips and, you know, the time was, would he get married or something?
Married. He's got a kid now, believe it or not. I mean, Aaron as a father, I mean, that's, get everybody off the sidewalks.
And then he's got, so he's at home now, wetting himself. You know, because of that remark.
Yeah, between that and hoping that the Mets turn things around, he's got to have something to live for. All right, we will talk about the other Jaguars draft picks and how they look during minicamp. We'll also discuss the new Jaguars additions, the free agents, Torrey Holt, Sean Considine, and Trey Thomas. Torrey Holt, by the way, and I made it on TMZ. Do you know what TMZ is? TMZ is this Hollywood gossip website.
How do I get on that? Do I have to do something dirty?
You wouldn't have to, but it wouldn't hurt. We might be able to work.
Maybe
you on
I
there.
Could make some kind of a comment about same-sex marriage or something like Miss California. Boy, I tell you, she is just absolutely exploded into America's consciousness.
I guess so.
I mean, she just said one thing. She answered a question.
Yeah.
You know, which she gave an honest answer, and she is just being vilified,
getting killed because she had an opinion, which you know we're kind of used to here too. But the TMZ picked up my exchange with Torrey Holt when Torrey had his pre-minicamp press conference.
The finger.
Talking about the finger, mm-hmm. right? If you haven't seen this, by the way, we've got it on WOKV.com. You can scroll around in there in the Cole Pepper blog, and you can find. But Torrey Holt's got a finger on his middle finger on his left hand that you know. You might as well nickname it Jeff Gordon because the thing takes a left turn halfway up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he catches anything with it that way, but apparently it doesn't give him too much problem, and he kind of thinks of it as a badge of courage. But anyway, we had this back and forth. It was Holt responding to me saying, what's with the finger?
You know, when you asked that, I started to giggle. All I could think of was this from when I was in college, I had a roommate who he picked his nose all the time. And one day he came back from basketball, had broken his finger, and had a bandage around and splinted on and everything. I said, what happened to you? And my other roommate said he got punched in the nose. And that's all I could think of when you asked him about his finger.
I don't think that was the issue with it that I know of. But
that's not how Torrey heard it.
No,
I asked him if he got punched in the nose.
He said no. Okay, that's good to know. All right. Anyway, it's just nice to be up there with, you know, Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and the likes.
Yeah,
I've
you're
kind of
climbing.
Like, yeah, I've arrived. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. You can also email us at jags@wokv.com. Emailer Raj emails, Vic, if there was one player you wish the Jaguars could have drafted, who is he and in which round?
Well, I would have liked to have seen them get a developmental quarterback.
I totally agree.
May I think on that for just a minute? I do have my draft book this time.
Oh. Right?
I was chastised by an Ask Vic reader for never having my draft book. So I'm going to take a look, and I'm going to give you, in fact, I'm going to take a quick look, and I'm going to give you an answer right now.
While you're doing that, I'll just let everybody know that we will be talking in just a bit about some of the changes, a couple of veterans changing positions on the Jaguars defense. We'll talk about that as well as how some of the draft picks looked here in minicamp.
Here's one guy that I kind of had, I had him in my head for the later rounds. His name is Mike Teal. He's was the quarterback at Rutgers. He's a guy who threw 7 touchdown passes in their bowl win. I forget who they beat. It was a minor bowl win. I think it was North Carolina. Was it North Carolina?
Yeah, I don't remember who they played in the bowl.
No, it wasn't North Carolina. They played West Virginia. But he had 7 touchdown passes. He came alive in the second half of the season. I mean, just exploded. Before that, he had always been regarded as just a guy. And he got picked in the 6th round by Seattle. He's a pretty big guy. He's got a nice arm. He's he pitched to Tyquan Underwood,
right,
and Kenny Britt. And he's a guy that I would have liked to have seen them, somebody like him, bring somebody like him in. And I actually should pat myself on the back because the quarterback play this past weekend was horrendous.
It was terrible.
I mean, it's just like nothing you've ever seen. Yeah. It was so bad. The one kid from Central Arkansas, you know, they
Nathan
cut him.
Brown, yeah.
He threw a ball on Sunday morning that I felt bad for him, and that my answer is Mike Teal or somebody like him, and now I think I'm supported with
Jaguars
that.
Are bringing in Todd Bauman as a replacement guy, you know, try to get some competition behind David Garrard.
He's not going to be a developmental guy.
Right, it's a stopgap. Listen, Vic, you know my 2 things about the draft that I strongly believe in. Draft big guys early, and at some point, draft a quarterback. Right? And at some point...
You thought this all up yourself?
I thought this for years. I like big guys.
I just had this, like, this throb in my brain. Somewhere along the line, I think I've written that. Get the little guys late.
You're
a wise man.
Well, you know, I've learned from the best, right? 3-5-5 NFL. But again, I just think quarterbacks are so rare to find that, listen, if you can find Tom Brady in the 5th round. Then,
they stuck to the board. I asked Gene about this, and he said they stuck to their board, and the guy just didn't fit.
Yeah,
they wanted to get a developmental quarterback in the draft, but he just didn't present himself.
I understand. That's my biggest criticism about the draft is that they didn't get that. Now, I do agree, Jack Del Rio is ecstatic about what he's seen out there, saying that. Usually you see a guy out there in minicamp and go, maybe he wasn't what we thought. They don't feel like they have that guy this year. They think everybody they pick, they feel pretty good about where they picked him and what they can do.
Nate Davis is a guy I really, really like, but here's the problem. There are concerns.
Nate Davis, the quarterback from Ball State.
There are concerns.
Okay, I got you. 355-NFL-1, let's get a call in here. Ed is in Orange Park, and he is up on Jaguars this week. Ed, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I'm just wondering, why don't they bring in somebody like J.P. Losman or, even though I'm a Gator hater, Rex Grossman or something like that to compete? I don't think he'd be – either one of those guys would be very expensive for them to get. They're out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lemon and Bauman I don't think are as good as those two.
Well, I think in the case of Losman and Rex Grossman, these are guys who are probably looking for a team that is going to give them a shot to be a starter, and that does not exist here. So they wouldn't be interested in the Jaguars. If J.P. Losman or Rex Grossman were to call the Jaguars and say, hey, I'd love to be your second string quarterback and never want to be anything else, and you could pay me accordingly, I'm sure the Jaguars would be interested. But, you know, guys who were former starters, Byron Leftwich is the perfect example. I hope Byron's not listening, but he knows I think this way anyhow. He screwed up a really good situation. He took pie in the sky. Now it looks like Tampa Bay was leading him on. Mm-hmm. They draft Freeman, who's clearly their quarterback of the future.
Right.
And Byron blew a really nice situation in Pittsburgh where he was going to be number 2, guaranteed number 2. And they loved him, and he loves them, and it was perfect for him.
It's not outside of his character, though. It's a guy who's very confident in
his
ability.
But he's chasing that pie in the sky, yeah, that I want to be a starter. Probably Grossman and Losman are doing the same thing, and they're probably blowing an opportunity to be a confirmed number 2. There was a quarterback named Alex Van Pelt, who played in this league for eons, never as anything more than Buffalo's number two. How much do you think he made? $20-25 million?
Sure, yeah. Had a good career. I mean, a lot of guys have been good, you know, had a long career as a backup. All right, we'll take time out for news here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back, take more of your calls. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll talk a little bit more about how the new guys looked, how the draft picks looked. And I have Tim Tebow news when we come back. This is Jaguars This Week here on AM 690 and 106.5 FM News Talk Radio WOKV. Back on Jaguars This Week, Cole Pepper in for Brian Sexton and Jeff Longman. Vic Ketchman working away.
You said you like big guys.
I do like big guys. I found, Vic, that at any level of football, I always seem to relate better to the big guys. I believe in getting big guys. I think it's highly important for any team to load up on big guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm about the big guys. I'm every day that goes by, I'm becoming more and more of a big guy. So that's, you know, that's the way it
crazy
works.
Crazy business, man.
It really is. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. I am. Yeah. I got married a little over a year ago.
Girl.
To a fabulous, wonderful, gorgeous woman who's way out of my league.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
She likes big guys.
She apparently likes big guys, too.
So you outkicked your coverage, too?
I outkicked my coverage like Sebastian Janikowski kicking off from the 50-yard line.
We used to have a director of player personnel here named Rick Reapers.
Uh-huh.
And as my current bride was walking down the aisle, Rick leaned forward and whispered into my ear, "You outkicked your coverage."
Yeah, I have used that line in the last just a little bit over 13 months I've been married. I have used that line maybe 5,000 times because it's absolutely true. it's a great line, and I'm playing above the rim. You know, I've got all kinds of sports connotations with that. Quickly, I told you I have some Tim Tebow news.
Oh yeah.
Sources close to me tell me, Vic, that Tebow and Phil Mickelson played a round of golf this morning at Tim Aquana Country Club here in town. Mickelson has a habit of going off site before the players. I'm not sure if he does this for every tournament or just majors and big tournament, but he played a practice round on Tuesday. Then today he goes off site. Last year I think he played Pablo Creek or someplace, but apparently he got a couple left handers out there playing at Tim Aquana, and I don't know what the scores were or if Tebow had to scramble at some point. But
I think that Mickelson should be he should wear a golf shirt with a number 18 on it.
The number 18, mm-hmm. Like just 18 holes, that sort of thing.
No, I mean he's choked away some.
Oh, because
he's
of the
choked
18th
away.
Hole.
I mean, when you step up onto the 18th tee in the final round of the U.S. Open with a two-shot lead,
mm-hmm.
and you hit the tent, a freaking tent.
You're a professional golfer, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, listen, the guy's won multiple major championships, right? I mean,
he has?
Yeah, sure. He's won two Masters alone, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, the multiple major championships. So he's
Masters is, it's kind of like a clam bake.
Oh, the Masters doesn't matter?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a small field. And
well, it's only the field of the guys who can win.
You got Gene Sarazen beat right away.
Yeah, but you've got all the top players in the world are playing in that thing. Now, listen, I'm not a Mickelson fan. I'm just telling you, the guy's on the fringe of being the number one player in the world. If things happen, he could potentially this week be the number one player in the world by the end of the weekend.
No, he's a fabulous golfer, but what is the most recent Masters? He pretty much choked that away, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had the Duncan 12,
mm-hmm.
and then the 2 4-footers. He didn't even touch the hole.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like the Peyton Manning of golf.
Now here's another one I will say is interesting today, and we'll talk about more of this tomorrow morning on Jacksonville's Morning News. But they brought in two guys in the interview room today at the Players Championship, who are both. I are interesting to hear from.
Who?
Sean O'Hare and Paul Goidos.
Goidos is cool,
by the
man.
Way. Goidos cool. is one of the coolest guys in the history of cool guys. Both, though, have seen their chances to win a Players' Championship disappear at 17. 2 years ago, when Mickelson won, O'Hare was in contention, and then he put two in the water at 17, and out he goes. And then at the playoff last year, Goidos hits his in the water at 17.
See, I thought Goidos got screwed last year, and I can't remember why. But I thought it had something to do with, I shouldn't say screwed. I just think fate conspired against him. Something happened last year. Was it the delay? Oh, going back to 17, after he had a significant delay, is that?
Not much of a delay. He had a little bit, but it wasn't that much.
I just think going back to 17.
He actually said today that he thought that 17 was the fairest hole to start a playoff on.
Really?
Because it took.
Good for him.
And he's a thoughtful guy. Here's why he said, because if you go to 16, then the long hitter has the advantage. If you go to 18, the guy who plays the draw has the advantage over a guy who might. You say it doesn't discount anybody at 17. Everybody's basically even standing there 134 yards.
Goydos is a single father.
Yeah.
Custody of his two daughters.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's done a fabulous job raising them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, trying to come out of obscurity and be a an up and coming professional golfer who has no shoulders, and that's a really tough thing to do. You don't see many guys on tour who are built like a bullet.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, he has no arc, which clubhead speed, which is distance, is all about. It's about the width of the arc, the size, and he has no arc because he has no shoulders.
He told me today. He said today, Grantley said, his game right now is about where it was last year this time, which was that it stinks. And he says, but my game tends to show up unannounced from time to time.
If he was he'd have to play offense if he was a football player because he couldn't tackle anybody. He has no shoulders.
He'd be a great short yardage back, wouldn't he? He can find the little areas in between there. But
Cool guy.
He also gave the greatest press conference in the history of somebody who just didn't win or who didn't recently
win. Strangest looking man. It's as though someone took a cement block, and put it on a tree stump. The way he's built.
I mean, okay.
He has a big square head, and there's no shoulders, and you wonder, what's holding it up?
he is one of the, we'll get back to football here, but he is one of the all-time great press conference guys. I mean, when I saw he was on the list.
A true sportsman and a true personality.
Yeah, and he said in the last year, people have really started to he's like people. Last week or a couple weeks ago, hey, keep up the good work. Hey, we love to watch you to play at the Players. That week for him was a real coming out for him. And I think if this year at the Players, I'm going to be interested to see how the
99% of all sporting events I watch, I just sit there and I don't care who wins.
Yeah.
Last year, I really wanted that guy to win.
Well,
I was crestfallen when he lost. And going back to when Len Matisse. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Len Matisse blew up at
17.
The 17th. This probably goes back 10 years.
Yep.
I was crushed. I really hurt for him.
Yeah.
Those two jump out at me. Otherwise, I sit there. It's just another sporting event.
Another guy you can root for this week if you want is Jeff Clouk, who grew up on the course, literally. Yeah. His dad was Fred Clouk.
I'm familiar with the name.
And Fred Clouk was a golf course superintendent. And anyway, a little bit of Players Championship talk. We'll get a little football talk in here. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Jason in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Ooh, I love that place.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Jason, you're up on Jaguars this week.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I kind of have two quick questions. The first one, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in our secondary because I've been following my friend's team with the Eagles and seen what Sean Constantine could do. I just don't feel he's a starter and would love to see Derek Cox move into cornerback and Williams go back to safety.
Well, that's going to happen. You can count on that one.
For right now, Brian Williams is a corner. And it was interesting. I asked Jack, I don't know if you were standing. You may have been chasing down another interview, Vic, at the time, Sunday after the last practice of minicamp. I asked Jack, what's going to happen here with Brian Williams? And he said, Brian Williams is a corner. He'll be a corner, and that's it. So
who said that?
Jack Del Rio.
Said that Brian Williams is a corner only?
He's a corner and nickel, and
nickel corner, yeah.
Ruling him out of safety. So
he was ruling him. He says he's not going to play safety?
That's what he said, yeah. Well,
I don't know if I can buy that.
That's what I'm just reporting what he said. And so that jumped out at me as an interesting thing, considering Derek Cox has been, talked up so much after he was drafted, and since now we have seen him on the field, and we both are of the same mind in terms of his ability.
I'm not saying he's the starter on opening day, right. But I think at some point during the season, he steps into the mm-hmm. starting job, barring injury, of course. I'll give you another corner, another guy, undrafted guy from Division III Wheaton, Pete Ittersagen. He was very, very impressive this past weekend. Guy with great feet. Just remember the name. I'm not gonna trumpet him, you know, too much because it's minicamp. But again, I think cornerbacks can show you something in their underwear, and I like that innuendo. Huh? And we're full of it tonight, Joe.
A real issue here.
And he showed me something.
All right. Let's take time out. When we come back, we are going to do a fast draw here, and I'm going to ask Vic to give me one sentence on each of the draft picks and the new guys and what he saw, and we'll see if he can do it without making any of us more uncomfortable than we already are. Back with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, here on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV. Back on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Cole Pepper in for Brian and Jeff. Vic is here as well. Joe Fortunato at the controls. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Told you earlier that Tim Tebow was playing golf today with Phil Mickelson at Tim Aquana Country Club. I believe we have a mole who's out there who has information. Alan, were you at? Do you have information about the two left-handers playing together today?
I was out there, and two left-handers, and Mickelson shot 66 with seven birdies and one bogey.
Which hole did he bogey?
We're not sure.
All right. He got to get the information
there. Was he wearing his number 18 golf shirt?
No, he had a nice Tim Aquinas shirt on and a pair of shorts. He does actually have legs.
Breaking news from Alan.
That can be seen. But he and Tim and Phil took on three others in their group. They played a fivesome, and not sure what the actual outcome was, but he did shoot a 66. So.
Right, there we go.
Without seeing the course ever before.
How does Tebow hit it a long way?
A long way. On number 18, he hit it about 340 yards and had about 60 yards left of the green.
Wow.
That's pretty good. It's hitting a long way. Mm-hmm. That's hitting a
from
long
the back
way.
To, yeah, he hit it a long way, yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, short game doesn't quite measure up to his long game.
Which is kind of just the opposite of what he does throwing the football. You know, he's much better at the short pass than the long pass. All right. Alan, thanks for the update. We appreciate it. All right. We want to get through kind of talking about all the different draft picks. We're checking in now with Brian Sexton, who's out at TPC Sawgrass today. All right, Brian, here's what I want you and Vic to do here. I'm going to give you the draft picks and the new guys, and I want you each to give me 15 seconds on your impression of them from minicamp.
Okay.
All right. And we'll start it off with some of these. Obviously, you'll have more information than others based on their position. We'll start with Eugene Monroe. Vic, what do you think of Monroe so far? Anything stand out to you at minicamp?
Plug him in.
Brian?
I'm with Vic. Big guy. Looks like he has great feet.
All right. Eben Britton, the second-round pick, offensive tackle, and played some guard, too, this weekend.
He'll be a starter by season's end.
Right?
Right tackle. Yeah, I've heard about him playing guard, but I think he's going to give Pachos a real run this year.
Terrence Knighton, the defensive tackle from Temple.
Gene said he was the last guy on the board who they believe has starter potential, which kind of tells me they're looking for a starter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hard to tell with the defensive linemen, you know, the big guys until they put the pads on, but a big body that I'm told moves pretty well.
And, you know, it's interesting. You said the last guy who they thought was a starter, but then they get Derek Cox, who we've talked
about.
Well,
no,
he meant a tackle. At that position. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. And Vic has talked a lot about Derek Cox. Brian, your feelings on the third-round pick.
Was the star of camp this last weekend. And it wasn't just on Sunday when people weren't there. They had to read Vic's account of it. The Jaguars were thrilled with what they saw from him, and it validated Terry McDonough's comments to Vic on Jaguars.com, and that is, I trust my eyes.
All right, Mike Thomas, the stocky but quick wide receiver from Arizona.
He's going to become the first Jaguars receiver in a long time who can actually do something with the ball after he catches it.
Brian?
I thought he was dynamic, at least as much as you could tell in a passing camp. I thought his routes were precise. His hands were outstanding, and for a young man, he appeared very polished.
Jarrett Dillard from Rice, another receiver.
True reincarnation of Keenan McCardell.
Yep, 87 is the new 87.
Talk about running great routes. Dillard looked like just a tactician on the routes. I thought he showed the best hands of any of the young receivers. Zach Miller, the quarterback turned tight end.
Could be the steal of the draft.
Brian?
Love the versatility. Looks like a very athletic guy. Other than that, I can't say much.
All right. I thought that he looked very natural catching the football, especially for a quarterback turned tight end. The other thing I liked was he said quarterbacks in his past, he's a tight end. He wants to be a tight end. He wants to help the team as a tight end. That being said, if he makes the team, he may be a sort of a wildcat guy that could utilize. Rashad Jennings, seventh-round pick out of Liberty.
I love what I see, but I don't know what role he can play because he's not. I don't think he's a short yardage back.
Okay, Brian?
Saw him in Mobile. He was the guy who caught my eye first at the Senior Bowl. He did the same thing over the weekend. Big guy, needs to learn to run, you know, not literally, but Kennedy Pola will teach him how to run in the National Football League, and I think he's a guy with a good future.
I thought he showed some good things. I'm a little bit concerned about how tall he runs because, you know, he's a big target in there. But
well, that's what Kennedy Pola will be able to work with him on.
Yeah, that would be the one thing. But for a seventh-round pick, looked like a steal. Tyquan Underwood, the other seventh-round
pick. Of the three receivers the Jaguars drafted, this is the guy with the greatest upside because he has great size, he has great speed, he has great athletic ability. The only knock I have heard on this guy is Tony Pauline told me that there are times he goes through bouts where you can't hand him the ball.
Hmm. Ryan?
Yeah, I saw him make a play on the sideline where he caught the ball on Friday afternoon and then spun and kept his balance. I was impressed with that. Got down the field in a hurry. Obviously, he slid to the seventh round for a reason, and Vic's probably hit on it. But looks like a guy that you can develop with more upside than a John Broussard because he's got size to go with speed.
And he can really run, and he is the closest in terms of watching how he runs to Alvis Whitted that I've seen in a Jaguars camp at that position. I don't know if he can turn, but he sure can run straight in a hurry.
Now this guy can run routes. Alvis Whitted couldn't run routes.
Right. Yeah, I'm just thought, you know, but Alvis, feet would barely touch the ground when he ran. Mm-hmm. Okay, of the new guys, free agents, Torrey Holt. We didn't see him in every practice. He played the veteran card a little bit there, but anything stand out to you, Vic?
He's one of the all-time great receivers. The only question is how much has he lost? You have to lose something going into your 11th year. How much?
Brian?
I was impressed with one thing, him working with the young receivers on Saturday after the morning practice. They were all out there, all those rookies, paying rapt attention to him. That was the most I saw from him this weekend, and that was enough.
Sean Considine, safety they brought in from the Eagles.
Awfully small.
Okay. Brian?
My only observation of him is that there were tipped balls, and he was always around them, so his strength is knowing where to be.
All right, and finally, Trey Thomas, the left tackle.
He's going to be a good backup.
Okay.
Big guy. You know, obviously the Eagles let him go for a reason. Eugene Monroe clearly is this team's starting left tackle.
All right, so there's the summation of most of the key guys that folks would want to hear about as far as newcomers for the Jaguars. Brian, I hope you have a good rest of your evening.
Yes.
I might want to rethink that orange shirt. Vic, thanks a lot. At Joe Fortunato, thanks a lot.
What a bad guy you are.
Hey, listen, if I'm working for free, I'm going to take my shots, right? We will have coverage for the Players' Championship tomorrow morning. I'll be live from the course on Jacksonville's Morning News. Check out WOKV.com and Jaguars.com for all the latest Jaguars info as well. Thanks for listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, here on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.